This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Judiciary Committee to order. I'd like to welcome all that are listening on the internet and would remind you that if you're interested in seeing actual copies of the bills that we'll be discussing this morning, that you can go to the state webpage and click on the LRC and go to 2009 session and put in a bill number, and you'll be able to actually see the bills that we're discussing here this morning. But we indeed welcome all of you here this morning. At this point in time, we'll have the secretary call the roll to determine whether we have a quorum. Secretary, call the roll, please.
Representative Ingalls?
Here.
Representative Feinstein? Representative Gibson?
Here.
Representative Gosch?
Here.
Representative Hamill?
Here.
Representative Hoffman?
Here.
Representative Killer? Representative Lust?
Here.
Representative Mosher?
Here.
Representative Schleckaway?
Here.
Representative Turbeville?
Here.
Representative Hunt?
Here.
Representative Cutler?
Excused.
Mr. Chair, 10 of 13 are present.
We have a quorum. I would entertain a motion regarding approval of the minutes.
Second.
Moved by Representative Turbeville, seconded by Representative Schleckaway. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor
aye.
Say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
Like a lame duck, the motion goes forward. We have a couple of pages, but I see only one present. So maybe we'll just wait a moment until the second page comes back from an assignment. For purposes of those of you that are following the calendar closely, we have on the calendar below the line House Bill 1080. We will not be taking any further action on 1080 today, but we will be taking action on 1080 on Monday. You may recall that we had several votes on that particular issue and could not get a majority. And we had a couple of people that were absent, so we have deferred that until Monday. Then also on the calendar, House Bill 1102, we are going to defer that until next Wednesday. House Bill 1102 will be deferred until next Wednesday. Those of you that intend to give testimony this morning, I would encourage you to sign the log sheet on the podium near the rear door and sign your name very clearly so the secretary can get a proper spelling of your name if you give testimony and it's entered into the minutes of today's meeting. At this time, our second page just entered the room, and so let's let her complete her mission. Our two pages today, if you'd both stand, two pages are Hannah Distel from
Honolulu.
That's good. You're thinking warm weather. That's positive thinking, Hannah. Hannah is from Box Elder. Then we have Dawn Beck, who is from Pier. Thank you both for being here. Very much indeed. Well, we'll open today's meeting by going to House Bill 1003. House Bill 1003, to clarify the application of common law trespass and to provide for the recovery of damages against trespassers. The first proponent of House Bill 1003, please come forward and begin the presentation after clearly identifying who you are and where you're from.
Representative Betty Olson from District 28B, and I bring before you a very good bill, very simple bill. and one that came about from a problem that we had up in our area. This was a problem that I didn't know existed until I will relate the story of what happened, and you can see why I brought the bill. Representative Moser is grinning. I will try to not to tell the tale exactly as I told it to him last night. Last year during pheasant hunting season, and we don't have a lot of pheasants up in our area, but this was during pheasant hunting season, one of our neighbors has the highway run right between his ranch buildings and his tree lot. He has a big shelter belt on the other side of the highway. He has no hunting signs up all over. He was out working in the pasture, came back to the place to find a pheasant hunter in his tree patch with his dog, his gun, and his pickup hunting back on the far side of the shelter belt where you couldn't see him from the road very well. But since the neighbor was coming from that direction, he saw the pickup and was wondering, well, I won't say what he said he was wondering. Anyway, he marched right in there and caught the guy trespassing on his land, hunting pheasants out there. And very few pheasants, but there were some in there, and that's why the guy was hunting. Never mind, there were no hunting signs. The neighbor got very irate, chewed the guy out, told him, you pay me for this, for your trespass, or I'm calling the cops. The guy said, I don't have any money. Well, so my neighbor said, give me that shotgun, took the shotgun. He said, there's an ATM machine in town, 10 miles away. You drive in there, you get me the money, you come back here, and you can have your shotgun back. The guy did it, drove into town, got him the cash, came back, paid the landowner, got his shotgun back, and they went their merry way. Both of them were satisfied. Well, the neighbor was more satisfied than the trespasser. And nobody that I knew of realized that the neighbor had just committed a crime. It's called compounding. And evidently the neighbor didn't keep quiet about what he did. He was pretty ticked off still about that trespasser. So when he went into town, stopped at the local cafe, he spread the word. You know what I did? I caught that. You know the story. The new little game warden we've got up there heard the story, third or fourth hand, and recognized it as the crime that it was. It's called compounding. So in his little game warden report that comes out in the newspaper, he wrote an article about it telling that it was illegal and what the penalties were. And if I understand that right, the way my neighbor told me, he was more in trouble legally than the trespasser was. So that's why I brought this bill. Even if the trespasser had been convicted and say the neighbor hadn't charged him for trespassing on him, if the trespasser had been arrested and convicted, he would have to pay a fine, but it wouldn't go to the landowner. It wouldn't have anything to do with the damages occurred and the insult and the trespass on that landowner's property. So that's why I brought the bill here. And this bill would allow a landowner, you catch a trespasser on your land, and we have had multiple trespassers on our land. We've never done anything with them. We have called either the county sheriff or the game warden, whichever one happened to be the easiest to get a hold of, but they've never been able to catch anybody. But some of our neighbors have had trespassers prosecuted, and the fines they pay don't go to the landowners. There's no damages to the landowner. And all this does is if you catch a trespasser, you call the cops, and the trespasser owes you money that is paid directly to you because he violated your property rights. That's pretty much it. I'm sure there are things I don't understand about it. I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Olson. We have some other proponents at least listed on the log sheet here, so we'll wait and take questions at the end of the proponent testimony. Further proponents on House Bill 1003. Further proponents. If you would, please state your name and where you're from, and welcome.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Larry Nelson from Buffalo, South Dakota. I'm president of the Stock Growers, and I'm wearing my lobbyist badge today. With your permission, I'd like to take that off and just testify as an individual, if I may.
Yes, as long as you're testifying as an individual and not on behalf of that association, you certainly may.
That's what I wish to do. Thank you. I would just generally like to tell you that trespass is a problem in our neighborhood up there too. I have neighbors and I have problems with it every year, and it's just darn hard to get anything done about it. And I think that this bill represents Representative Olson's and a lot of our frustration about not being able to get it taken very seriously a lot of times. And so this is an attempt to get it taken seriously. There's a lot of things I don't know about it either, but trespassing during hunting season in particular is a problem, and it's just really tough to get anything done about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Further proponents on House Bill 1003. Further proponents on House Bill 1003. Seeing none, we'll allow the committee members at this time to ask questions of the proponents. Questions by the committee. Representative Ingalls.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Representative Olson.
Let's hope I know the answer.
When I'm out campaigning, occasionally I find someone who doesn't want to hear what I have to say, and they slam the door in my face. But under this bill, could they not get $500 from me also?
Representative Olson,
Chairman, again. No, because you didn't actually go into their backyard and get them out of their recliner and ask, did you?
Follow up, Representative Ingalls.
Well, you're not talking about people who get you out of your recliner when they're on your property, are you?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
No, and if you haven't violated their curtilage, no, you're not liable for trespass, and you won't be charged $500, even if they're Republicans.
Representative Ingalls, any follow-up?
It could get very expensive, I think, under this bill if it passes.
Further questions? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Olson, I commend you for bringing two concepts today, one in state affairs and one in that address a clear problem. And I think you will find, as you did in state affairs, that the devil is in the details with this one as well. And the first question I have for you is, how would you envision this being enforced? You gave the example of the shotgun in exchange for cash. Are you envisioning a landowner right there saying, having the statute in hand, saying, you owe me $500, pay it and be on your way? Or are you envisioning a court action every time this happens?
Representative Olson.
If I may. No, they're not going to have the statute right in their hand, and they're not going to grab the shotgun. They are going to, if they can, look at the license number on the pickup as it drives off into the distance. They're going to call the sheriff, and he will take care of it. If the guy is found guilty of trespass, the landowner gets the money.
Representative Lust, follow up.
I do have one follow-up. Would the lawful retrieval of game shot in public area falling onto private property, would that be considered trespass?
Representative Olson, go ahead.
That entirely depends on who you ask. That's a whole other issue than this one. That wasn't what I had in mind, but that's covered under the road hunting statutes. And on my place, if I catch somebody that has shot a bird over my land and he's out there walking across my pasture to retrieve what might be a bird he actually shot, I am going to call the sheriff. Now, whether he's going to be convicted or not, that's up to the courts. But I will call the sheriff. A lot of people won't, because Game and Fish had it written in the statutes that you can lawfully retrieve your game that you shot in the right-of-way and it flew over somebody's land if you lay your rifle down and go over to retrieve it. And that's a whole other can of worms that I would just as soon not get into, but that's not addressed in this bill.
Very good. Thank you.
Any further? Representative Mosher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Representative Olson.
Good morning.
My first question was going to be to ask you how it went over in state affairs today, but judging by Representative Lust's comment, I can assume that it did not go well.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Representative Olson.
It did not go well. Did you see the guilty look on some of the legislators' faces here? Not those two. But.
May I ask my real question?
Yes, please ask the real question.
Before I do, though, I want to emphasize the regret that I have that you didn't share the story in the same manner that you told it to me last night. My question is, do you see this as being a deterrent to trespassing, or is the purpose more to provide compensation for the landowner?
Representative Olson.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, to provide compensation for the landowner, this isn't going to stop anybody from trespassing. All trespassers know that it's illegal, and they also know that there's a possibility they could be fined for it. This won't stop trespassing any more than the laws against trespassing will now. This will just allow the landowner some compensation and some satisfaction if we actually catch somebody, get their license number, and report the crime.
Representative Mosher, any other real questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any other questions by members of the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Olson. We'll now go to opponents. Any opponents on House Bill 1003? Again, please state your full name and who you're with.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Richard Neal. I am an assistant attorney general, and I am general counsel for the South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. I appear today in opposition to HB 1003 for a number of reasons. Number one, it's unnecessary. The common law of civil trespass already exists in South Dakota. As far as I know, it's alive and well. Put simply, if someone goes onto your property without your permission, they are liable to you in civil trespass, and you can sue them for whatever damage their trespass may cause, including nominal damages. Our legislature has already adopted a law, SDCL 21-1-2, which recognizes nominal damages and enables an individual to obtain nominal damages. I think it's important, given this bill, that we talk about nominal damages for a moment. Nominal damages are defined in the law as being a trivial or trifling sum of money awarded to an injured party who has established a cause of action but has not established that they are entitled to receive any actual or compensatory damages. They are given neither to compensate the plaintiff, in this case the landowner, nor to punish the trespasser. Most courts which have considered nominal damages award $1. That's the typical sum. I would respectfully submit to this committee that $500 is not a trivial or trifling sum. It's punitive. It would apply to all trespassers, irrespective of the harm that the trespass may have caused, which in most cases, I'm not saying in all cases, but in most cases is insignificant. Now, I would also like for a few moments to address the bill's potential effect on unarmed retrieval. As I know all of you are aware, unarmed retrieval is a statutorily created defense to criminal trespass for a hunter who is retrieving small game on private property. However, a couple years ago, we had a Supreme Court case where trespass was discussed quite extensively, Benson versus State. And in that case, our Supreme Court expressly stated, landowners retain all civil remedies against hunters who physically enter and shoot over their land. This principle is already recognized in SDCL 41-9-8, the last sentence. Since few, if any, unarmed retrievals actually result in monetary damage, presently I will acknowledge to you that it is impractical for most landowners to pursue a trespass action. Why? Because why pursue something that you don't get money for? Okay. Now, this legislation would enable a landowner, if he can prove, he or she can prove a trespass, to go into small claims court. You can't stick your hand out and ask for $500. That's compounding too, folks. But you can go to small claims court and get an automatic. If you prove the trespass under this bill, you get an automatic $500. Whether or not the landowner can prove any kind of actual damage, I would respectfully submit to you that enactment of this legislation for all practical purposes would be the death knell of hunting in public road right-of-ways in South Dakota. Well, let's be honest, let's be frank about this. Most of the time when a bird gets shot, it's going to fall onto private property. Now, if this bill gets enacted, that hunter has a choice. He goes onto that property to retrieve that bird and exposes himself to liability for $500. Or he chooses to leave it laying there and exposes himself to a criminal charge of willful and wanton waste of game. One last point. Although it is virtually impossible for me or the department to quantify the effect of this bill in a dollar figure to the department, I would suggest to you that enactment of this legislation will undoubtedly have an adverse effect on sales of hunting licenses. I think it's fairly safe to assume that there are many folks out there who have hunted in the past who may no longer hunt because they are going to be faced every time they shoot a bird and it lands on private property with a $500 civil penalty, civil fine, nominal damages for trespass, or not going and getting it and facing a criminal charge for willful and wanton waste of game. I think it's going to affect us. One other thing, I mentioned the potential effect on hunting in public right-of-ways. Folks, it goes far beyond that. Let's assume you're hunting on your own property, or you're hunting on private property with the owner's permission. In other words, you're there legally, or you're hunting on public land. You shoot a bird. It lands on the adjoining property. If you go get it under this bill, you're committing a civil trespass, and you're lawfully hunting. Ladies and gentlemen, I respectfully submit to you that this is not a good bill, and I would ask that you defer it to the 41st day. I am more than happy to stay for questions.
Mr. Neal, if you would just remain there for a moment, let me determine, are there any other opponents? Any other opponents? There are. Okay. Mr. Neal, we may come back to you for questions, but further opponents on House Bill 1003.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Chris Hessler. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Wildlife Federation, and I won't take up any more time, but we oppose this bill, obviously, for the reasons that Mr. Neal had talked to you about, and we ask you to kill this bill as it deserves to be killed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other opponents on 1003? Any other opponents? Seeing none, we'll allow committee questions of the opponents at this time. Any members by the committee? Any questions by the committee? Representative Hamill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Mr. Neal.
Please state your question, Representative Hamill.
Mr. Neal, you said that most landowners don't pursue the kind of trespass mentioned by the proponent because they don't recover damages. Did I misstate your statement?
I think you misunderstood my answer. Okay. Or my statement. They don't pursue the trespass because they have no provable damages.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
Proceed.
So from a landowner's perspective, if they can't prove actual damage, what is the landowner's remedy to keep unwanted people off their land as just a trespass issue? What's the remedy for them?
Mr. Neal, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Injunction, ejectment, perhaps a nuisance action.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask the witness to elaborate for we non-lawyers?
And you'll go ahead and elaborate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ejectment implies what it is. It's a forcible ejectment. You keep them off your land, you get a judgment. Nuisance is also what it suggests. You go in, prove that the nuisance took place, that the trespass was a nuisance, which I think you could prove that, and get an injunction prohibiting those people from coming onto your land again. I also would point out, for what it's worth, that nominal damages do, although very trivial, as I said, in scope, acknowledge the fact that you have a legal right to have the enjoyment of your property without interference from interlopers.
Representative Hamill, any follow-up?
Just one, and I'm not sure I can phrase it. As alternatives then for landowners, how viable are those alternatives for the situation that is trying to be addressed by this bill?
Mr. Neal, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can think of one pretty good example It's a Supreme Court. It was addressed in a Supreme Court decision, Parks versus Cooper. And in that case, landowners got an injunction against the public from using waters, public waters up in Day County, three particular public waters. I mean, there is, it is practical. That is a practical alternative.
Thank you.
Any further follow-up, Representative Hamill? Any other questions, members of the committee? Representative Mosier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think there are problems with the details of the bill, as Representative Lusk pointed out, particularly the scenario that Representative Ingalls pointed out. But it almost appears to me that your approach to this is that if there's no actual damage done to the lot, to the landowner, then somehow there's no harm done by trespassing. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I want to give you a chance to address that.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Mr. Neal.
Thank you, Representative Mosher. That certainly was not my intent.
Representative Mosher.
A trespass is a violation of a property right. I'm just saying that as a practical matter, in many cases, there is no actual compensatory damage that results from that trespass.
Representative Mosher. Any other questions? Representative Ingalls. Mr. Neal.
Mr. Chair. The primary enforcement mechanism against trespassing is the criminal trespass law. Isn't that correct?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir, it is.
Thank you.
Any further questions by members of the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Neal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We'll close the hearing to the taking of public testimony and move to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1003. Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Relating to this issue, I think there's probably only two people in this room who have ever actually taken a case of trespass to court and won. And one of them is Commissioner Wolf, sitting here, is my neighbor 2 miles to the north. While we were doing our things in our respective lands, and I was hunting grouse, a car stopped on the gravel road from a mile away. I could tell there are no grouse that are that close to a road. And I heard shots going off, so my son and another gentleman and I came back down on the road, followed this guy, and Dennis and I encountered him shooting pheasants during grouse season further north. Anyway, we stopped him, and we asked him if he'd open up his trunk, and we asked, "Do you know what you're shooting?" "Oh, yeah, they're grouse." And I said, "I don't think so. I've never seen grouse sit around a ditch." Anyway, he had his trunk full of pheasants, hen pheasants. So we took them all the way, and these were three hooligans. I won't say from where. But the Game, Fish, and Parks had to go to their house, and they found the birds in their freezer, and they got them that way. And anyway, what I'm getting at is the loss was not to us. The loss was owned by the public, as all wildlife in the state are. And when we're hunting pheasants, occasionally in our large fields, we will have a group of 10 or 15 guys veer off into someone else's land. Under this bill, that landowner could just be waiting for that moment where he knows that group of pheasant hunters, come down and snap a picture of them, take it to court, and we'd all have to pay him $500 for just walking on his land inadvertently. I think this will just create landowner fervor and hate amongst every hunter and all the landowners, because this is not right. I'm not going to vote for it, and I urge you to vote against it. Thank you.
Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move House Bill 1003 to the 41st day.
Second.
Motion by Representative Gosch to move HB 1003 to the 41st legislative day, seconded by Representative Gibson. Any discussion on that motion, Representative Gosch?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do so with some regret, because Representative Olson has identified another problem this morning and is doing her best to remedy it and to help out her constituents. However, with this law, as pointed out, the civil trespass is already part of the common law, and the liquidated damages provision is something I have a little bit of a problem with as well, because there are going to be situations, I think, where the damages could exceed that number quite substantially, depending on what the person is doing while they're trespassing. Maybe they bring their four-wheeler in and tear up a lot of trees or whatever. And with the liquidated damages clause, you might be limiting your recovery to $500. On the other hand, I think there could be a lot of innocent trespassers. For example, recreators out in the Black Hills, snowmobilers, four-wheelers, dirt bikers, hikers, hunters, who, you know, are starting out on public land in the national forest, but because it's such a checkerboard pattern out there, you could inadvertently cross over into private land. And I think East River, West River Prairie, the same thing could possibly happen. And the other examples of the innocent trespass or where really no damage has occurred. $500 would seem excessive. So for those reasons and others, I would urge the rest of the committee members to vote aye on sending this to the 41st day. Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion to 41st legislative day. Representative Lust.
I too would just like to amplify what Representative Gosch said, and I'll bring it out of the ag community, Representative Olson, and bring it to my neighborhood. I would be flat out broke if my neighbors instituted or enforced this every time my four kids go tearing through the neighborhood. And I would have numerous cases of civil trespass, and my college savings account would quickly be depleted. So I think this applies across the board, all land ownership. Representative Engel's examples, Representative Hoffman's examples, Representative Gosch's examples. So it's quite a broad reach that I don't think you intended, but unfortunately often results in such broad sweeping language. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none. The motion before the committee is to defer 10-03 to the 41st legislative day. All those in favor of that motion will say aye. Those opposed, no. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Ingalls?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hamill?
No.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mosier?
No.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Turbeville?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Cutler?
Excused.
10 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused.
Motion carries. House Bill 1003 will be deferred to the 41st legislative day. Thank you for your presentation, though, Representative Olson. We'll now move to House Bill 1021. House Bill 1021, to provide for a contested case hearing on the denial of a claim for the recovery of an allegedly overpaid tax, penalty, or interest. Do we have any proponents on House Bill 1021?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Andy Fergal with the Department of Revenue Regulation, and House Bill 1021 is an agency bill brought to you today to provide for a contested case hearing on the denial of a claim for recovery of an allegedly overpaid tax, penalty, and interest. Now, the reason the department brings you this bill today is for a very simple reason. Currently, under SDCL 10-59-22, the Secretary's determination of an amount of an overpayment recoverable is for the purposes of judicial review, a final decision in a contested case. In these, where people are asking for refunds for overpaid taxes, penalty, or interest, they either file self-audit worksheets or they simply write and make a request to the department asking for a refund. And what happens is the department reviews that request and usually sends a letter, either saying, we agree with you, you are owed a refund, or we deny the request in whole or in part. When we deny the request in whole or in part, based on the current language in the statute, If a person is aggrieved, they need to appeal that decision directly to the circuit court. That is somewhat problematic. It's problematic because when the case gets to the circuit court, the circuit judge that's assigned the case looks at the case and says, I don't have a record here to decide the appeal. I need more information. And so what the circuit court judge has been doing in these instances usually is remanding the matter back to the department to hold an administrative hearing or have a hearing to develop the record so that they can effectively decide the appeal. And so what we'd like to do with this bill is provide for an administrative hearing up front. So if we deny a request for overpaid taxes, penalty or interest, the person that's aggrieved can come in, have an administrative hearing, and if they're aggrieved by the final decision of the department after the administrative hearing, they can appeal that decision to the circuit court, and there will be a fully developed record for the circuit court to decide the appeal. And that is the whole purpose of the bill. So if you look at the bill, you'll see that the first section there, we eliminate one sentence, and then we add section two, which provides for an administrative hearing under chapter 126 and 126D. And with that, I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ferger. We'll take other testimony if it is available. Any further proponents on House Bill 1021? Proponents on 1021.
Mr. Chairman, Ron Olinger, South Dakota Retailers Association. Every year, revenue brings their bills to us and goes through them, and we see this as a positive step because we shouldn't be in circuit court on something that can maybe absolutely not require you to go into circuit court, or at least if you go there, you got a record, so you're not going back and forth. It's just a common sense thing, and we'd support that.
Thank you. Further proponents on 1021? Proponents. Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1021? Any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll open the committee hearing to the to questions by members of the committee. Any questions by members of the committee? Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for Mr. Fergan.
Andy? Mr. Fergal, please.
Fergal, sorry, excuse me, my fault. Would you consider this to be a cost savings to not only the department but to the people who are coming forth and testifying, and a time saving, time and money, both to both department and the person being questioned?
Mr. Fergal, go ahead.
Representative Hoffman, I would, because this eliminates a step kind of in the process. Because when you file for to hear an appeal in circuit court, that if you get an attorney, that's going to cost you some money. And when the circuit court sends it then back to the department to develop a record, which is essentially an administrative hearing anyway, that creates an extra step that they wouldn't have to go through if you develop the record to begin with.
Thank you.
Any other follow-up questions? Any other questions by members of the committee? Seeing none, we'll close the testimony on 1021 and move to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1021. Representative Turberville.
Mr. Chairman, I would move do pass on House Bill 1021.
Representative Turberville moves do pass on 1021, seconded by Representative Engels. Any discussion on that do pass motion? Representative Turberville.
No, I think it's just like it was mentioned in the testimony. It's just good common sense to do this, and I would ask the rest of the committee to join me in a do pass vote, please. Thanks.
Further comments, discussion? Representative Ingalls.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a good bill, and it's what I believe is a clarification of the existing law. Anytime agency is going to make a determination that affects somebody's rights, you have a right to have a due process hearing. And it appears to me there was an oversight in the law of this in this particular area, but I think this is how the courts would interpret the law anyway, that somebody has a right to have a due process hearing before they have to appeal it. And it sounds from Mr. Fergal that that's how the circuit courts are dealing with it anyway, referring it back for that hearing. So it's a good bill, and I think it was probably an oversight when this law was put together in the first place.
Any other comments? And I think I would share in those comments and thank the department for bringing this and giving us a clarification of the law and helping our people to establish a record so that there's a good hearing on all of these issues. All right. At this point in time, we'll close the hearing and we'll act on the do-pass motion on House Bill 1021. All those in favor of the do-pass motion on 1021 will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Ingalls?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hamill?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Hiller?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mosher?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Turbeville?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 12 ayes, 1 excused.
Motion carries. House Bill 1021 will go to the floor with a do-pass motion. For some of you that may have just come into the room, we are going to defer action on 1102 until next Wednesday, and we're going to defer action on 1080 until Monday. At this time, we will consider House Bill 1036, revision of the Uniform Commercial Code. Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Chris Nelson, Secretary of State. House Bill 1036 comes from my office. Our intention was to clarify these Uniform Commercial Code statutes and give our office a flexibility of assisting a lender in getting a filing corrected before it went into the system if we noted some obvious errors. Subsequent conversations with the South Dakota Bankers Association has brought some more information to my attention. There is some contemporary litigation that is going on in this area that they would prefer not to have the statutes changed in the middle of that particular process. I am fully in concurrence with that, and so at this point, I would request that you all find some non-existent day to move this off to, and perhaps in a year or two we'll come back and visit. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Are there any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents, other than Mr. Secretary, to House Bill 1036? Seeing none, are there any questions by members of the committee? Representative Lust.
I do actually have a question, Secretary Nelson. As you're, I assume you'll be reworking this at some point, I would ask you to look at the requirements you're having for the amendments and the subsequent filings. It appears in those amendments you're having all the same information required that was in the initial filing, and I'd hope you would, in the next go-round, not require all the duplicate information be provided.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Questions? All right. The chair will entertain a motion relative to House Bill 1036. Action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Schleckaway.
I make a motion to move to the 41st day.
Second.
Motion by Representative Schleckaway to move House Bill 1036 to the 41st legislative day, seconded by Representative Hoffman. Any comments on that motion? Representative Schleckaway? Okay. Any other comments by anyone? Seeing none. We will take action on the motion to defer to the 41st legislative day. All those in favor of that motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Ingalls?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hamill?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Hiller?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mosher?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Turbeville?
Excused.
Thank you. Hunt?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 11 ayes, 2 excused.
Motion carries. House Bill 1036 will be deferred to the 41st legislative day. Members of the committee, I apologize. I didn't guess that we would complete action on one or two of these bills as quickly as we did, and that is all that we have on our calendar for today. Are there any comments, questions by any members of the committee relative to any other matters? Seeing none, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Representative Hamill, seconded by Representative Gibson. Any discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.